Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you on this Friday, March 22nd, as we welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Chuck Redden. Chuck and his wife Britt have been members of Mountain Brook Baptist for quite some time, and they have four beautiful children. I can't wait for you to hear him talk about life and faith at the end of the podcast. But first, Chuck, read God's word to us today, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Mary, for having me. Today's reading is Luke chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. And now let's turn to the Psalms. Psalms 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his Maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much, Chuck, for joining the podcast and for reading so wonderfully for us. I want to hear a little bit more about you. Tell me about yourself and your family.
Well, thank you again for having me. My wife, Britt, and I, and we have four wonderful children, Walton, Lucy, Parker, and Charlotte. Walton is a junior at Auburn. He is majoring in applied mathematics with a minor in data analytics.
Oh, wow.
I know, that's, I don't think I could do that major, but he loves it. He loves math, and so he's hoping to get a job in sports data analytics is what he would like to do. And then Lucy is a sophomore at Auburn, and she's majoring in nutrition, and she's really enjoying that. And she's going to, work in D.C. this summer for a congressman from Alabama. So that'll be a fun summer for her.
Very interesting.
And then Parker is a junior at Mount Brook High School, and he's on the football team and enjoys that. And he also needs a summer job.
Okay.
So if anyone listening, shout out, contact Parker. And then Charlotte is our youngest. She is in eighth grade at Mount Brook Junior High with Webb.
Oh, yes.
And she's our tennis player. And so tennis season is going on right now. And the Metro Tournament will be coming up in a few weeks. And the team is doing really well this year. So knock on wood, we will continue to do well into the Metro tourney.
Well, good luck to you, Charlotte. Hope the Metro tournament goes well. I want to back up. I want to hear the story of how you and Britt met.
I moved to Birmingham in 1997 after I'd gotten out of the Navy to take a job with AmSouth. And the first day of work, I was in their management training program. I guess they called it the Management Associate Program. And they took five of us who were coming out of the military as junior officers, and then they had taken another group who were coming straight out of college into the same program. And Britt was one of those people. So we met for the first time on the second floor of the AmSouth Harbor Plaza at the meeting. And since we had both been to Vanderbilt, but I had graduated before she'd gotten there, so they said where everybody went to school. So I went up and introduced myself. So we knew a lot of the same people. We just were not there at the same time. So that's how we met. And then we started dating and got married. And then Britt grew up in Mount Brook Baptist. So she grew up here with her family. And originally, when we first got married, we wanted a kind of a church home that was our church home.
Neutral.
So we were going to another church in the area, which was great, and still have lots of friends from those early days. I think when you're a young couple, whoever's in your Sunday school class becomes this close-knit group that lasts, a bond that lasts forever, whether you know, still stay together or not as a group. Then one Saturday afternoon, Dr. Mobies came by our house.
Oh, no.
And he said, I need to come talk to you all. And he sat down on the couch, and in his voice, he said, you know, Britt, Chuck, it's time for you to come home. And it was, I envisioned like how Bear Bryant used to go tell people that mama called kind of thing. And so we talked about it and started visiting Mount Brook Baptist and came back and have been here ever since. And that was probably 20 years ago.
You mentioned the Navy. I want to back up to that. Tell me about your time in the Navy. Tell me how you decided to join the Navy, and were you on a ship?
I went to college at Vanderbilt on a Navy ROTC scholarship. And so the Navy paid my way through Vanderbilt. So thank you, taxpayers out there. I appreciate it very much. And then when you graduate, you serve 4 years active duty. So I graduated from Vanderbilt. A couple weeks later, packed up my car, drove to San Diego, and I was stationed there for 4 years. I was on a ship. It was a destroyer, the USS Harry W. Hill, DD-986, which now is a coral reef, I believe, off the coast of Washington State. So we spent all that time keeping her afloat, and they eventually decided it was cheaper to build a new one than retrofit.
So. You may not know this, but my hometown is named after a Revolutionary War battle, and we have two battleships named after our town. The USS Cowpens. One is
The Cowpens is actually an Aegis cruiser. I have sailed with the Cowpens.
Wow.
So their job is to basically defend the aircraft carrier, and it's quite a machine. But yeah, so all the Aegis cruisers are named after Civil War battles or Revolutionary battles. That's kind of, they choose for a class of ship to name them either after people, battles, you know, planets, whatever they want to do, but they all have the same theme. So.
I probably should have known that, but
yeah,
I'm grateful that you taught me that today.
Yes. So I've seen the Cowpens in action.
Yes.
But yeah, I was stationed in San Diego. We did two six-month deployments to the Persian Gulf, one to South America. So we were gone a lot. We were, it was fun to live in San Diego and be on the beach, but we were gone a lot when I was in.
Thank you for your service of our country.
We did the best we could.
I want to hear some of your favorites. So if you were going to this gas station, what would your favorite snack be?
Wow, that's a tough one there. Because normally it's what my favorite would be and what I allow myself
categories. If you're not thinking about calorie intake, what would you get?
I would probably get Zingers.
What is a zinger?
That's the Twinkie with the yellow icing on it.
Yes. Okay.
I haven't had one of those in years, but I love those, but they're not good for you. So.
And if you're trying to be health conscious?
I would get a protein bar.
Okay. All right. Do you cook around the house or does Britt? And what's your favorite meal?
We both do. I like to grill, so I really love steak. I like to grill it. I like the way I do it. I grew up on a farm in Tennessee, and we raised beef cattle, so we had steak a lot. And
so you're telling me you know your beef?
I do.
All right, well, give us a little rundown. How do you do it?
Well, it's top secret.
Oh,
it's top
goodness.
Secret. Even though I have recently changed it, and I've recently, well, recently, a couple years ago, I guess now, during COVID, purchased a sous vide. So I now sous vide a lot of times the steak, and that works out really, really well. If you like it medium rare, like I do.
I do. But if you're listening and you don't know what a sous vide is, Chuck, explain it to us.
I'm not sure, and hopefully I'm saying it right, but basically it's what a lot of professional chefs use, and it's a little gadget that's you cook the meat in water to the perfect medium rare temperature, and then it will maintain that for about an hour, so you don't have to immediately rush and do something. And then you sear it for a couple of minutes, either on a grill or a cast iron skillet to sear the flavor
nice.
And the flavor. But it makes, because I like to have a thicker cut of meat if possible. And it's very difficult if you're not paying precise attention, which is sometimes difficult in our household, that I will get distracted and then I'll end up ruining it and that'll be a bad experience. So this way you're guaranteed a perfect medium rare every time. And you just, the only challenge is, how do you want to season it? What do you want to cook? But it's really very cool. So if you haven't, you should research it. And I would highly recommend it. And you do it with an app on your phone. So sometimes if I'm playing golf, I will start cooking my steak when I make the turn. And by the time I get home, it's almost ready. And then I cook
it. That is impressive.
I know. It's amazing. The future.
Okay. Speaking of golf, have you always played golf?
I have. I've played golf for, it doesn't look like it when I play, but I have played since I was a child.
Have you ever made a hole in one?
No, I have not. And I'm really, that's kind of a bummer. I have made a double eagle.
Ooh.
Which is kind of this, I mean, about yeah. as hard, but it's, no, I haven't. So
okay.
Unfortunately,
well,
no.
I've only made one birdie in life, so you got
well,
me.
Well, there, I mean, that's still really impressive. Though,
all right, so. Moving on. Recently, I came to your Sunday school class, and I heard you teaching, and you did an amazing job. I'm wondering, have you always been a teacher?
No, and thank you for coming. You must have been there on a lucky Sunday. I am one of the teachers for Cornerstone, and we've been in that class for a while, and I really wasn't a teacher. During COVID, with everything kind of going on, we needed somebody to be the teacher, and I'd said, well, I'll do it, and just kind of step forward just so that we had somebody doing something. And I've been doing it ever since. And I do enjoy it because it forces me to study the scripture, study the lesson, think about it, try and make it relatable. So it's really helping. It helps me in my faith journey. And then hopefully I help other people a little bit in their faith journey.
Sounds like you began your career in banking. Is that what you continued to do?
No, I didn't. I began in banking, and I really enjoyed it. And it's a great, I would tell anybody, it's a great career to start out in, because banking, you learn about all other careers, because banks work with all kinds of companies. And I was on the commercial side. But today I work for a company called Autotech here in Birmingham. Local company, and we do a lot of work with wholesale auto auctions and used car dealers around the country. Vehicle history, where you can tell before you buy a used car, has this thing been at the bottom of a lake or in a wreck, or the odometer's been changed? We do credentialing for these services to make sure that the right people can buy cars wholesale. Arbitration, sometimes when you have a buyer and a seller, there's a little bit of a dispute as to whether they got what they paid for or paid the right price, and we help negotiate in the middle of that sometimes. And then we do insurance products, to where if sometimes people buy something and don't pay for it, then we will pay the seller and try and go collect from the buyer and get our money back. So a lot of things around used cars. We don't sell cars. to people, but we help other people make it easier for them to buy and sell cars.
Okay. As a leader, what are some things that you keep in mind that are important to you that drive either you or help you to help your employees strive for excellence?
We have four core values at our company, and they are integrity, excellence, teamwork, and fun. And we try and do all those at the same time. And sometimes we don't, but we at least try to. We're a family business, small business. We want to treat people like we would like to be treated. Last week for St. Patrick's Day, we found out that Krispy Kreme was making green donuts. So we brought in green donuts for everybody, and they were not healthy, but they were very delicious. We have a fun committee. And then, you know, for our business, the only reason our business works is because all of our customers trust us that we're going to do the right thing every time. That's why integrity is first on the list. And we've been doing it for a long time. So there's no negotiation on that for us on something. But then I tell everybody we have quarterly meetings. And I said, that's great. I said, you can be the most honest person ever. But if you're an idiot, nobody's still going to want to work with you. So that's why excellence is a close number two, that we have to do a really good job. So, and then teamwork, I think we do. So we're trying to do all those things. We could always improve. Some we do better in some than others in certain times, but we really do. We have a bunch of great people. We have a great team. They're fun to work with. We're all in this together as we're working on some of these big projects. And it's a great group. I enjoy working with them every day.
Tell me a little bit about your journey of faith.
Sure. So I grew up in a small town in Tennessee called Dixon, Tennessee, which is about 35, 40 miles west of Nashville. And I grew up at First Baptist Church of Dixon. And it was a great church. We had had lots of friends who went, had a good youth group. I did RAs. We had a big RA group. I mean, we probably had, you know, 60 boys in RAs.
Wow.
And we would go to the national meeting and
box cars. What were they called?
Pinewood Derbies.
Pinewood Derby.
We would do, we had a uniform that we made up of our own that no one else had. And anyway, it was an interesting time. A gentleman named Larry Lucas was our leader, and he passed away several years ago, and his son was a little bit younger than me, but that's somebody who I thought about, that the work and time, I didn't appreciate it at the time at all, but looking back on it, he really, I think, made a big difference in a lot of our lives in there. But I accepted Christ at RA camp in Linden, Tennessee, one night during the big campfire they had. So that was probably when I was in third or fourth grade. And so it was great. So it was a great, great place to grow up. It was a, you know, relatively big church in a small town. Mm-hmm. So where I grew up, you either were the Baptist had the big church and the Church of Christ had the big church. Those were the two groups. And there was a little Methodist church. And so it was fun. It was a great place to grow up. When I was in college, when I was in the Navy, I would say my faith was not quite as strong, or at least I certainly didn't openly practice it as often. And then when I moved back to Birmingham and Britt and I started dating, then that's when I got much more back on the track of probably where I should have been during those other years.
Chuck, as we think about today's passage, I was wondering if there was anything that stuck out to you.
You know, I thought it was great that in Luke 23, where Jesus is brought before Pilate and Herod, and we really think about leading into Easter and all that was going on and how, you know, these chain of events were happening and moving and the cup was not going to pass. He was going to do what God wanted him to do, even though he could have called down an army of angels. I guess that's what he told Peter is, mm-hmm. I could bring legions of angels to save me now. Peter, put away your sword. This is what has to happen. And we studied that. That was our lesson yesterday in Sunday school. But, you know, to think about that, and here we have two earthly rulers who, if not for the fact that they were the people who sentenced Jesus, they would have been lost in history. They never would have been heard from again. No one would know their name. And instead, everyone knows their name, but not in a good way. They're the people that sentenced Jesus to die on the cross. You know, this is where when they ask him, are you the king of the Jews? In verse 3, and Jesus says, you have said so. he's accepted his fate. He's accepted his destiny. He's told them who he is. And one would think that maybe they would have thought, well, maybe we shouldn't do this. And instead, they piled on even more and made it even more humiliating and worse, and the suffering increased. You think about that level of suffering that he endured when he didn't have to, and most of us don't like to endure any suffering we don't have to. So it really, I think it's powerful, and the whole Easter message, as dark and bad as it starts out, and then how glorious and great the ending is it's just a wonderful time of year for the Christian faith.
Thank you so much, Chuck. It's been such a pleasure to get to know you a little bit more and to learn about your family. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for Mountbrook Baptist Church. And dear Lord, I ask you to be with the word that we have read today. Dear Lord, I hope that it speaks to someone's heart and encourages them to open their Bible and read the next chapter and the next verse and do their part to understand your word. Watch over our community in the weeks ahead. Pray for our country and wisdom for our leaders. And we ask you to please forgive us of our sins. And we pray these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.